Today's reading is from the Lives of Saints, October 13th, New Style, October 1st, Old Style, a homily on the protection of our Most Pure Lady, the Theotokos. In these last, grievous times, when our sins have multiplied, the woes that beset us have likewise increased, in accordance with the words of St. Paul. In perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. This agrees with the words of the Lord himself, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. At this time, when we suffer the attacks of aliens, civil war, and plague, the most pure, most blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of the Lord, offers us as a defense her protection, that we might be freed from every misfortune. She guards us from famine, pestilence, and earthquake. She shelters us from wars and disease, and she preserves us unharmed under her protection. It was in the most glorious church of the Theotokos, which was in the district of Blachernay in the imperial city of Constantinople, during the reign of the pious Emperor Leo, that the protection of the Mother of God was made manifest. There, as the all-night vigil was being celebrated on Sunday, the first day of the month of October, in the presence of a multitude of people, St. Andrew, the fool for Christ's sake, lifted up his eyes and beheld the Heavenly Queen, the protectress of the whole world, the most pure Virgin Theotokos, standing upon the clouds praying, shining like the sun and sheltering the people with her precious omophorion. Seeing this, St. Andrew said to his disciple, "The blessed Epiphanius, do you see, brother, the Queen and Lady of all praying for the whole world?" Epiphanius replied, "I do see her, Holy Father, and am stricken with fear, just as St. John the Theologian once saw a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. So did St. Andrew behold the bride unwedded, clad in purple, like unto the sun, in the heavenly church of the Blachernay. That sign, which the theologian beheld, appeared when the destruction of all creation was revealed, and was an image of our most compassionate protectress. And there were lightnings," said the apostle, "and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." Why did that wonder appear, when heaven and earth were greatly troubled with lightnings and thunderings, voices, earthquake, and hail, not while all the elements were yet calm? That it might be shown how our most good mediatress hastens to our aid in the hour of evil, when we are nigh unto perdition, and shelters us from the fleeting and deceptive glitter of the vanity of this world, from the voices of the pride of life and vainglory, from the thunder of the enemy's sudden assaults, from the quakings of the passions, and from the chastisement which hails down upon us from above, on account of our sins. For when we are encompassed by all these misfortunes, straightway like a great portent appears that ready helper of the race of Christians, who guards and protects us by her unseen intercession. The sign the Lord has given unto them that fear him, that they may flee from before the face of the bow, for in this life we are the mark for archers who lose their arrows upon us from every side. Some are shot from the bows of foes that can be seen, who make haste to draw their bows and to boast against us in their pride. Others are discharged by invisible adversaries who hope to make us believe that we are unable to withstand their demonic volleys. Some are released by our fallen nature, which wars upon the spirit. Others are shot from the bow of God's righteous anger and threatening, of which David says, "Unless he be converted, his glittering sword shall he furbish. He hath bent his bow and hath made it ready, and on it he hath made ready the instruments of death. His arrows for them that rage hotly have ready his arrows for them that rage hotly, hath he perfected. That we not be mortally wounded by all these darts, we have been granted a standard beneath which we may flee from the face of the bow, the protection of the most pure and most blessed Virgin. By her protection are we guarded as though by a buckler, and preserved unharmed from the arrow of our enemies. For our protectress has 1,000 shields to be used for our defense, as the Holy Spirit says of her. Thy neck is as the Tower of David, whereon hang 1,000 shields and all the darts of mighty men. David erected his most beautiful and lofty pillar upon a high mount between Zion and Jerusalem, for Jerusalem lay below and was called the daughter of Zion. The column stood between them, like a neck between a body and head, for it overshadowed Jerusalem and approached Zion in height. Upon the tower were hung shields and every weapon necessary for battle and for the defense of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit likens the most pure Virgin to the pillar of David, for she, being a daughter of David, is the mediatress between Christ, the head of the church, and the faithful who comprise his body. She is above the church, for she is truly greater than every member of it, and she is near to Christ, for she gave flesh to him. Now she stands in the firmament between heaven and earth, mediating between God and men, between Christ, the settler of the contest, and the church militant, like David's tower between Zion and Jerusalem, hung with strong bucklers. These shields, I say, are her all-powerful supplications for us to God, which, as was meet, she was heard to utter when her honorable protection was revealed. As a mother, she said these words, full of compassion and mercy, as she prayed with compunction to her Son and Creator. O Heavenly King, accept thou every man who glorifieth thee, and called upon thy most holy name. Do thou sanctify this place, and glorify them that glorify thee, and rever me, thy mother. Receive their every prayer and vow, and deliver them from all sorrow and tribulation. Are not these her prayers shields protecting the church, militant? Truly they are shields which cannot be pierced, with which we are able to turn aside every fiery dart. St. Ambrose says that David's tower was built for two reasons, to defend the city and to adorn it. David, he says, erected a tower for the defense and establishment of the city. It served the city's defense, for from it a foe could be seen from afar and driven off from the city, and for its adornment, since it exceeded in height all the holy buildings of Jerusalem. Not without cause, then, is that tower likened unto our protectress, who is a pillar of strength for us in the face of our adversaries, and who truly shelters us and is the adornment of our race. She comes to our defense when she drives far from us enemies visible and invisible, when she looses captives from their bonds, when she delivers them tormented by evil spirits, when she consoles the sorrowful, intercedes for the wronged, feeds the hungry, when she harbors the storm-tossed, and grants visitation to the sick. She is our adornment, covering the shameful nakedness of our souls before God, with her most exalted merits as with precious ornaments. As though from a limitless treasury she relieves our poverty, with the great abundance of the favor shown her, making us pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. She adorns us who have no wedding garment, clothing us with a robe that conceals from all the all-seeing eye the shame of our soul's nakedness, of which the earth, when it was void and without form, and covered with water, was a foretype. For the earth, unsightly and unfurnished, was an image of the sinful soul, which has lost its spiritual comeliness, is devoid of good deeds, and has become estranged from the grace of God, while the waters that covered the earth which was without form, foreshadowed the compassion of Mary, the Theotokos, which like a river's water is poured forth unstintingly and covers all. The soul, which is sheltered by the protection of the most merciful Virgin Theotokos, was mystically prefigured when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, thus passing over the earth, which was unsightly and was covered with water, and as if it were saw, and as it were saw not that it was devoid of beauty. Although the soul may be devoid of beauty, it shall not be deprived of the grace of the Holy Spirit. For the Theotokos' protection covers its ugliness like water the earth, which without form, adorning it with the comeliness of her grace, and drawing the Holy Spirit to it. The most pure Virgin adorns us, making us sinners righteous men, and pure men of the impure. As the blessed Anastasius the Sinite says of her, she makes apostles of sorcerers and publicans evangelists, and she causes harlots to become more worthy of honor than virgins. Thus Mary of Egypt, who was once a whore, later came to be surpassed in virtue numerous virgins, and she, who had formerly been benighted and defiled, now shines like the sun in Christ's kingdom through the intercession of the most pure Virgin Mary, the protection and adornment of all who flee unto her. She adorns the whole of the spiritual Jerusalem, the Church. I say of Christ, which chanced to her thus on the present feast, Thou art the marvelous adornment of all the faithful, the fulfillment of the prophet's sayings, the glory of the apostles, the confirmation of the martyrs, the boasts of virgins, and the most wondrous protection of the whole world. Together with the shields, all the arrows of the king's mightiest soldiers were hung upon David's tower. Likewise, the noetic pillar, the most pure virgin, is hung with the darts of mighty men, that is, with the entreaties of the saints who prayed together with her. For she did not appear alone upon the clouds in the church, but together with the angelic hosts and a multitude of saints who stood around about her reverently, clad in white garments. The prayers of all these saints to God on our behalf are like the darts of mighty men, which put to flight all the ranks of the adversary. Our most pure Lady the Theotokos knows that our life upon the earth is a battle. For the enemy wars against us with all his forces. He has loosed upon us all his hosts, and has encompassed us with his every legion. Many dogs have encircled us. They have opened their mouth against us, as might a lion, ravenous and roaring. Therefore the Heavenly Queen, who wishes to assist us, has released upon our foes the hosts of heaven. She has summoned the prophets and apostles, gathered the martyrs and virgins, joined them the holy monastics and all the righteous, and has come with them to our aid. Therefore the Heavenly Queen, who wishes to assist us, has released upon our foes the hosts of heaven. She has summoned the prophets and apostles, gathered the martyrs and virgins, joined to them the holy monastics and all the righteous, and has come with them to our aid. They encompass us and grant us victory over our enemies, for through her the banners of victory are raised on high, and foes are felled. She comes with the angelic hosts, for she is the ladder which Jacob beheld, surrounded by a multitude of angels. As mentioned is made here of Jacob's ladder, one might wonder why the angels did not remain on it still and unmoving, but ceaselessly ascended and descended. If a man perceives that that ladder was a foretype of the Virgin Mary, in accordance with the words the Church cries out to her in praise, Rejoice, thou bridge that leadeth to heaven, and ladder raised on high which Jacob saw, he will understand why the angels did not rest upon the ladder. For the Theotokos, who is unsleeping in her intercessions, commands the angels to help her assist men ceaselessly. Thus the angels ascend unto God with the supplications of them that pray, and they descend,
conveying God's succor and benefactions unto man. Upon this ladder a multitude of angels descend to us from heaven, bringing us protection and shelter from on high. The most pure Theotokos appeared with angels, that she might give her angels charge over us, to keep us in all our ways. She brought all the ranks of the saints with her, that they might make supplication for us together, and bear our sinful prayers unto her Son and our God. Two saints have preeminence among those who appeared in the church of the Blachernae with the Most Pure Virgin. St. John the Forerunner, of whom it is said that there has not arisen one greater than he, and St. John the Theologian, whom Jesus loved, and who rested upon Jesus' breast. Our intercessor came with these two, that they might make supplication with her on our behalf, inclining God more quickly to have mercy, for their prayer avails much. The Most Pure Virgin stood between these two virgins like the throne of the Lord of Sabaoth between the seraphim, and like Moses with his arms outstretched between Aaron and Or, when the infernal Amalek was cast down with all his dark kingdom and his power. Thus, celebrating the protection of the Most Holy Virgin, Theotokos, we commemorate her most glorious appearance in the Church of Blachernae to Saints Andrew and Epiphanius. As we celebrate this feast, we thank our protectress for the exceedingly great mercy which she has shown the race of Christians, and we entreat her fervently that she have compassion and shelter us who are in need of her protection, both now and forevermore. For it is not possible for us to live without her protection and intercession, inasmuch as we continually anger God. On account of our many sins, much chastisement is our due. As it has been said, many are the scourges of the sinner. We would already have perished in our iniquities, had our most merciful Lady not protected us, had not our mediatress interceded for us in prayer. Who would have delivered us from such numerous sorrows? Who would have preserved us until now in freedom? The prophet Isaiah counsels, "Hide thyself for a little while, until the wrath of the Lord shall pass away." But where can we conceal ourselves from the wrath of the Lord? Nowhere have we found a refuge where we might flee from suffering, other than in the Sovereign Lady of the world, who says of herself through the lips of the Holy Spirit, "Like a cloud have I covered the earth." We are thus sheltered by her protection, as though by a cloud which covers the whole earth. But why, O most honorable Virgin Theotokos, art thou likened unto the sun, the moon, and the stars, as Solomon in his amazement said of thee, "Who is she that cometh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, choice as the sun? What beauty hath a cloud, that thou disdainest not to be compared therewith? When a cloud covers the earth, all the beasts remain safe from hunters, for no one is able to find and to slay them. For this reason the Most Pure Virgin is called a cloud, for she conceals us from those who hunt after our souls. On account of our inhumanity, we sinners are like beasts or cattle. According to Chrysostom, we are as gluttonous as bears. We fatten ourselves like mules. We are as rancorous as camels, as crafty as wolves. We become angered like snakes. We sting like scorpions. We are as cunning as foxes, and as full of the venom of cruelty as vipers. Various hunters pursue us, for we are like those beasts. The righteous anger of God follows after us, chastising us for our wicked undertakings. For the Lord is the God of vengeances. The God of vengeances has spoken openly. Our own iniquities overtake us, for each of us can say, "Mine iniquities took hold of me, and I became unable to see." The invisible foe hunts us. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. Visible foes also pursue us. The enemy said, "I will pursue, I will overtake." I will destroy with my sword. My right hand shall have dominion. But let us take courage. The noetic cloud, the most pure Virgin Mary, shelters us. In her do we hope. Unto her do we flee. Not a hair of our head shall perish when we are under her protection. Let us but cry to her with compunction. Shelter us beneath thy protection, O our protectress, most pure Virgin. Hide us in the day of our troubles. All the days of our life are full of evil. As Jacob once said in the Old Testament, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Evil are the days when we behold evil and when we ourselves work much evil, storing up unto ourselves wrath against the day of wrath. Wherefore we are in need of thy merciful protection every evil day, O most pure Virgin. Shelter us throughout our life, and especially on the cruel day when our soul is to be parted from the body. Come thou unto our aid, and protect us from the wicked spirits of the firmament beneath the heavens, and on the dread day of judgment grant us refuge. Amen.